things up a little bit from some of the signals we were talking about last week. So we've been talking a lot about the issues in the mitzvahs relating to the man. Last week we went a little bit of a digression, talking a lot about Erev Shabbos as it plays out in terms of Seudah Shlishis, uniqueness of Netz from next Shabbos, Seudah Shlishis. But really, if we go back for a little bit, we were talking about the different dinim that exist in Halacha as part of remembering the Nes of the man. And one of them was the mitzvah of Seudah Shabbos. The Gemara itself says that Yom HaShech Lu HaYom says HaYom three times. That teaches me the source of Seudah Shabbos. We spoke a little bit in the past. Is that a real drasha? They're icy, they're abundant, etc. But the Gemara has another din in Masechah Shabbos, also in the 16th Perek of Shabbos, which talks about the man. And that's what the Gemara tells us, that there's a mitzvah to have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos, and also as a zeichet to the man. Lechmish is not ma'akiv into the Shabbos. If for whatever reason the person doesn't have it, it's still the yotzei mitzvah in the Shabbos. Lechad chilu, one is supposed to strike ramotzi on lechemishna. Since we mentioned last week that we try not to rely on Rabbi Natan, we try to follow the view of Rova. We've shown him that lechem is required for siddur shlishi. So therefore, one should make sure not just have a piece of bread, one should have two rolls, again, to fulfill the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah. There are different minhagim in terms of when we deal with Lecha Mishnah, which one exactly one makes a motzi on, a pikabolah. So on pikabolah on Friday night, you make on the bottom, and Shabbos day, you make on the top, etc. Those are, again, nuances and details. You know, none of that is really ma'akev and ikra din. There is a discussion in the poskim as to what's considered to be a shlema in order to be yotzi Lecha Mishnah properly. So the rolls are supposed to be shalem. So what's considered to be shalem? So we usually assume a little crumb here and there. Your matzah is missing a crumb on the edge. A little tiny piece of the challah got, you know, chipped away a little bit. So little tiny amounts probably don't detract from the Torah Malachi Asharis. But if it looks like it's pretty chaser, so that's one should not use that for lecha mishnah lecha chila. When it comes to these mitzvahs of to the Shabbos and the mitzvah lecha mishnah, so we said that all these mitzvahs apply equally to women as well as to men, whether this is subsumed under the category of Afen Hoybi also an ace, that's what Rabbeinu Tam said, or whether it's based on the Ran's idea of Shom Vizach with the Berech and Nemru, that includes all the mitzvahs that I say. The bottom line is that there really is a chiyuv of both for men and for women to participate in these mitzvahs properly. When it comes to these mitzvahs that are all Zeich Laman, there is a major question to Rishonim, how much of these mitzvahs carry over to Yad Dif, also a little bit in Yad Yoma. So all the zechas that we do for Shabbos related to the man, are these just unique to Shabbos, or do these carry over to Yom Tov as well? L'chora, this is a historical machlekes. It all depends on, did the man have to fall Lecha Mishnah, did the man have to fall before Yom Tov or not? If the halacha was that they were prohibited to collect the man on Yom Tov the same way they weren't allowed to collect the man on Shabbos, the Sukkot Pashat B'Shach won't talk about Shabbos, so we don't know clearly what the status of Yom Tov was. If we assume that the halachas that govern the collecting of the man on Shabbos spilled over to Yom Tov, so then it would be important for us to commemorate the nes of the man on Yom Tov as well. So we should probably have our three suddos on Yom Tov also. If that's the case, that we're trying to commemorate the nes of the man on Yom Tov, so then it would behoove us to have Lecha Mishnah on Yom Tov as well. If for some reason we think that the nes of the man wasn't really necessary to commemorate in Yom Tov because nothing happened. Even in Yom Tov, the man fell on Yom Tov like it did any other day. The whole parashat of Mishalach talks about the man not falling on Shabbos and necessitating falling Lecha Mishnah on Friday. If for whatever reason that didn't apply to Yom Tov, then presumably all the mitzvahs that are instituted as a zeichah to the man would not carry over to Yom Tov. So the parashat of the Bar Mitzvah, this is all one big shaila. Means either we are reliving and remembering the nes of the man on Yom Tov or not. Either the man did fall on Yom Tov or didn't fall on Yom Tov. Can't have it both ways. So what happened? Did the man fall? Did the man not fall? So Taisus in the beginning of Sechas Beit, it quotes two different midrashim. Taisus machlekes midrashim, not the first, not the last machlekes. Tanoim machlekes midrashim about whether the man fell or not. Rashi and Chumash popularized one view because he only quotes one of the views. Rashi quotes in Parshas Mishalach that says Sheish Yom Tov Chodu B'Yom Shvi Shabbos Lo Yebo. So the Rashi quotes the Medrash that says Shabbos Lo Yebo L'Rabos Yom Tovim Yom Kippur. That even on Yom Kippur, so the man didn't fall, which of course necessitated a Lecha Mishnah from before Yom Tov. And Tosfos debates and quotes another medrash that says that is in fact not the case, that the man did fall normally on Yom Tov. What's the shaila? Should the man have fell? Should not have? Well, how would we possibly, if we were in charge of deciding when the man's going to fall? So what would we say? So maybe some want to say, it's hard to believe this of the halacha, but it's an interesting idea. And maybe it depends as to what potential malachas were necessary in order to prepare the man. So we know that there are many reasons why the man couldn't possibly have fallen on Shabbos. It couldn't have fallen on Shabbos because normally you had to prepare the man, you had to cook the man, you had to bake it, you had to prepare it. It didn't come down totally edible. So you had to do, you had to odachub nachub, shuvah parav, asalav ugals. So they had to cook it, they had to bake it, they had to fry it, they had to prepare it in different ways. So it's going to be hard to do that if the man falls on Shabbos. That's going to be one problem. There's going to be another problem. The very carrying of the man is also problematic on Shabbos. You can't go out into the rishus around to collect the man. And then there are other problems. There are problems of going chutz tchum. The Medrash says that for some people the man fell all the way outside the machane. Maybe that would be a problem of going chutz tchum. So there are multiple reasons why the man couldn't have fallen on Shabbos. So some of those reasons carry over to Yom Tov. Some of them don't. So the whole reason why the man couldn't fall on Shabbos is because they couldn't cook it. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. The whole reason why is because you can't carry it. You're allowed to carry food on Yom Tov. The Shammai says you're only allowed to carry food on Shabbos and nothing else. And the Silo, we pass like the Silo. We talk Shahut Shalotzer, Chutzashalotzer. You're allowed to carry a mask, you can carry a city, carry a lulav, a shofar, you can push a baby carriage. You can do other tzrachim as well. But everybody agrees you can carry man on Yom Tov. So if the whole issue of the man not falling on Shabbos was Malachas Bishel and Afiyah and Tigun and Otzah, all those Malachas would be what they're on Yom Tov. And there's no need for the man to fall extra on every Yom Tov. But if the reason why the man couldn't fall was because of tchumen issues, because it necessitated going out of the tchum, then you're not allowed to go chutz tchum v'yom tov, even for eichel nefesh. That's a famous kasha. You're allowed to cook on yom tov, you're allowed to carry on yom tov, but you're not allowed to go chutz tchum to get food on yom tov. So the answer is that eichel nefesh is matir malachas, it's not matir other isurim. Going chutz tchum is a different kind of malachas, it's a different nisur, it's not b'teres malachas. So some want to say in a sharp way that whether or not the man fell on erev yom tov twice, or whether it fell on Yom Tov itself, the reason why there are Chalukei Midrashim is because there are Chalukei events. For some people it did fall, other people didn't fall. The Medrash says that for the Tzadikim, so the man used to fall on the doorstep. For the Rishayim, so it fell all the way outside the Machane. So for the Tzadikim, it fell on the doorstep. So what's the big deal? It didn't necessitate going Chutz Tchum. It just meant walking outside, walking to Rishayim, picking up the man and bringing it back in. You're allowed to do that in Yom Tov. Then it necessitated cooking, frying, and baking. You're allowed to do that in Yom Tov. So for the Tzadikim, there were no Malachas involved. For the Rishayim, so there was a big problem because the Rishon had to go schlep sech Yudbeis meal, it's a 2.5-hour walk to go get their Amon every day. So you can't make that walk on Yom Tov. The Tchumen is deraisa. There's one day in Rishon, the Tchumen is deraisa, and one day in Rishon is deraisa even on Yom Tov. So if you're going to go walk chutz to Tchum on Yom Tov, that's going to be just a deraisa. So therefore the man couldn't possibly fall on Yom Tov. So someone argued that, did the man fall on Yom Tov? Not fall on Yom Tov for the Tzadikim, it didn't. For the Rishon, it did. There was a other way around. For the Tzadikim, it fell. For the Rishon, it didn't fall. It's cute, but that would lead us to an absurd conclusion of halacha that Rishoyim, they have to have lechem mishnah on Yom Tov. Tzadikim don't have to. Rishoyim have to eat three meals on Yom Tov, and the Tzadikim don't have to. That's not much like Tzadikim. It's a Purim Torah. It can't be such a thing like that. So whatever it is, when the one didn't fall, is a real valid historical question that Tosfos quotes two marchas all about, and two different opinions, and hashlachot, the ramifications of the halacha are real. The ramifications of the halacha should be both in terms of Sudas Yom Tov as well as in terms of Lechem Mishnah. How do we pass the halacha in the Shaila? So the problem is there's a little bit of a steer in Apsa, because when it comes to Lechem Mishnah, so we all know you have Lechem Mishnah and Yom Tov, everybody has Lechem Mishnah and Yom Tov, but yeah, to be sure, I have a machlokes just in today's daf. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Pesachim that Lechem Oni, one of the many, many dim of Lechem Oni is that that has to be beprusa, adarka, but only beprusa, fata beprusa. You can't eat the whole bread at once, can't eat the whole matzah at once, you have to break it. Just like a poor person leaves a little bit for later on, so you have to break your amounts in half. So there's machlokes, the Rashbam and the Rambam about how does that breaking, that kiyum of lechem oni, how does that impact on the din of lechem mishnah? So the Rashbam, the Reish Daf writes that in addition to lechem mishnah of two shleimus, you also need a third matzah to break, because if you can only start off for 2 months to break once, that's going to share your lechem mishnah. Lechem mishnah is supposed to be shleimus. So the Rashbam says lechem oni is not at the expense of lechem mishnah. Lechem oni is an addition to lechem mishnah. So you basically start up with 3 matzahs. So according to the Rashbam, the Leila say you begin with 3 matzahs, and you break one of them, and then when you make hamotzi, so you make hamotzi on the 2 shleimus, and then you put down the bottom shleim, and then you hold the 1.5 matzahs. So maybe we shut him right, and you make an alchlas matzah to highlight the fact that the lechem oni kiyum is taka 1.5 matzahs, but for the shleima of lechem mishnah, so you have to keep that second matzah on the table as well. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that you don't need 3 matzahs of the seder; you only start for 2 matzahs, and you break one of them. What happened to lechem mishnah? So the Rambam seems to understand that lechem oni qualifies and redefines lechem mishnah. Lechem oni says that your regular lechem mishnah is different. Don't think your lechem mishnah is plain and simple lechem mishnah like it is all the time. It's a different kind of a lechem mishnah. It's a lechem oni think a lechem mishnah this year on this yontif. So interesting machlekes rishonim. Most of us have the practice like the Rashba. Most people have that standard practice of taking three matzahs at the Seder. And others have the practice of the Rambam, the Grofa of the Rambam. You only have two matzahs to break one in order to fulfill the din of lechem oni properly. The three matzahs have nothing to do with Kohen Levi in Yisrael. In contrast, you learned when you were in nursery school, so that's not really why there are three matzahs. That's nothing to do with the fact that there were three pockets in the cloth. The real reason for, even though they say Kohen Levi in Yisrael, the real reason for the three matzahs is because you have to combine together the kim of lechem mishnah combined with lechem oni. But even the Rambam who says that on Pesach you break one of the matzahs, the Rambam agrees that a regular yontif you take two shleimus. So everybody takes two shleimus. We all follow that practice of taking two shleimus. So if that's the case, we seem to have been paskal like the Medrash that says we're trying to reenact the minhag of the man even on yontif. If that's the case, then l'chayr we should be eating shalosh shudas on yontif also. And I'm meaning most people don't eat shalosh shudas on yontif. The Rambam says you have to eat shalosh shudas on yontif. And the Torah quotes the name of his father, the name of the Rosh, that he never saw his father eat the shal shudas. All these years he grew up in his father's home, he never saw me shal shudas. So, and that's what I'm meaning is most of us don't eat shal shudas in yontif. We, some post can say, you should have a little extra dessert in yontif. Most of us don't eat that extra coaxing. You should have a little something, maybe a little something later in the afternoon to be a shtickle, to shal shudas. It's quoted from the Brisker Rav that he used to eat shal shudas on Shvi Shal Pesach. Nothing to do with yontif. But because he wanted to be yaitzeh the Gros sheet, the Gros says that every kazayis eat of matzah is a greater mitzvah. Each kazayis possesses as a mitzvah kiyumas of achilas matzah kol shiva. So as the last moments of Shusha Pesach are leaving, so he would chop around, he would eat another kazayis of matzah. Some follow that minig of the Briskera. So we don't do that in our house. We don't make a whole new Siddur Shlishis. Usually, when I remember, so at the end of the Shri Shal Pesach meal, so I grab it with his matzah, everybody, that this is for the Zech of the Goyim, we're mixed as briskers, a little bit, not sure. So to remember that there's an Indian to have a little bit of an extra matzah at the end of Shri Shal Pesach. But so back to the story, so it's a very strange practice that we have, that when it comes to Siddur Shlishis, so we somehow ignoring the Zech of Amon, when it comes to Lechem Mishnah, we accepted it very, very hard to understand where that's the came from. Many years ago, I asked Rabbi Osman Shlita, she even tells him, Rivdal, yes, in the Shaila, and we were talking about it for a while. It was an Erev Shavuos, and we were talking about it for a while, and then we were talking about it in the barbershop, and then it came time to get haircuts, so the conversation ended, and then I met him in Yeshiva the next day in Yontif, and I continued the conversation. We spoke about 40 minutes, and we still didn't have really a resolution. I wasn't so happy with the answers, but we were bouncing around a little bit to try to figure out why the split in the Minhag Yisrael between this Yontif. Traditionally, send the other that we're not machped on, whereas Lechavish, everybody's machped on. That's okay, I'm not sure. Anyway, I hope I'll get back to that story. So there are many, many dinim that we do which involve around the man. And Suda Shabbos are definitely linked to that. But then there's one other aspect of Suda Shabbos, which is not really part of the man, which is part of a different aspect. And that's the Suda actually, if the Shabbos, that's the Suda Smolav Malka. So the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, in the Sugyas of Shal Shudas, so the Gemara, yeah, it's on that, by the way, if the Shabbos is over, we have to have another suit as well. And that suit is Mafa Malkum. We call it the suit Mafa Malkum. So it's not 100% clear in the Gemara why exactly we're having the suit. There's a lot of the Kabbalah about it. It's related to David HaMelech, a lot of things that are connected to in general of Kabbalah about the suit Mafa Malkum. But in terms of pure Niglam, in terms of pure Halacha, so the Gemara just says the Chayavad Masada Shulchanu Ben Motzei Shabbos, you have to put a little something, you have to have a little suit on Motzei Shabbos, so we usually assume that that's to, as it's Kishmai Kenu, Malava Malka, Malava the king a little bit. So the Rambam, when he quotes the Dinam Malava Malka, so the Rambam writes that it's part of Kavod Shabbos, that Kavod Shabbos, you have to treat Shabbos in a very respectful way. So Kavod Shabbos doesn't end the minute that you make Abdullah, that when you have a Choshev guest, you don't just let him walk out by himself into the street, you escort him to his next destination. So you don't just let the Shabbos wave goodbye to Shabbos, let it just run out by itself. You know, walk it out the door, you malav the Shabbos a little bit, and by having a special, little special Suda, so that's considered to be a special choshev, a special sign of respect for the departing Shabbos. And the Rambam includes the dinim of Malka under the heading of the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. We usually associate Kavod Shabbos as things that are done actually from before Shabbos. That famous word from the Vilna Gaon is Medayek in Lashon HaRambam, that when the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos and the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, the Rambam seems to differentiate between the two. They're both based on the same pasuk in Shayov, across the Shabbos, Oineg Veshem Chubot, mitzvah L'chavdo, mitzvah Amgen. The Rambam writes in the end of the Shabbos that the Arba Advarim never be Shabbos. Shnayim Yedivri Torah, Shnayim Yedivri Kabbalah. So the Shnayim Yedivri Torah are Zochah V'Shamor, the Shnayim Yedivri Kabbalah, the Reseifim are Kavod V'Oineg. So what exactly is the difference between these four? Shomer and Zohar, we know Shomer is Malacha, Zohar is Kiddush, and the other things. What is Kavod Oini? What's the difference? So the Vilna Gaon's Medayek from Lashon HaRambam, that Kavod is always used to describe the things that you do before Shabbos. When you clean the house, when you cook the food, when you take a shower, those are all things that you do to prepare for Shabbos. Those are signs of respect for the upcoming guest of Shabbos. Oineg, says the Gaon, are things that happen on Shabbos itself. So when you cook the cholent, this is Kavod Shabbos. When you eat the cholent, that's Oineg Shabbos. So here the Rambam is adding on Hilchos Shabbos by saying that Kavod now then continues after the Shabbos leaves as well. So Sudas Blav HaMalka is not Oynik. When you eat your regular meal, when you're chilled on Shabbos, that's Oynik Shabbos. When I'm eating Blav HaMalka, it's not Oynik. I'm not enjoying Shabbos anymore. That's because Kavod Shabbos, that's like escorting the Choshva guest of Shabbos. So it's based on this Lashon Rambam that the Rambam puts the mitzvah Blav HaMalka under the heading of Kavod Shabbos, that the Chazon Ish suggested that there should be a mitzvah malav malkum mitzvah yontif as well, because there's a din of kavod yontif. Rambam writes in the end of Shabbos that kavod ve'oneg apply equally to yontif as well as to Shabbos. So all the preparations that we make, you have to take a shower, you got to get a haircut, you got to look nice, and you're all ready for yontif. The same, you got to look nice and get all ready for Shabbos. And so the same way this kavod before Shabbos, it should be kavod after Shabbos. It's kavod before yontif, kavod after yontif. That's what the Chazon Ish said. One should be makbid whatever the din. Or one should be not with that after Yontif as well. It's a little bit strange because Bishlam, according to the Rambam, you have three suddas on Yontif. Also, the Rambam says Mamash a full fledged Shalashos on Yontif. So then we understand, so you have to have a fourth suddah, the Blav Malka, after Yontif. According to the Rambam, we passed that you don't really have to have suddas, the Shalishos on Yontif. It's a little bit of a mother thing. Blav Malka, yeah, but Shalashos, no. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It's not really a theory, they're two different things. The mitzvah of Shalashos is out for Zechel Amon, so for some reason where we not so interested in being making the Zechel Amon for some reason. The mitzvah of is a different form, it's a different Kiyam Lagamri, it's a Kiyam Malz Kavod Shabbos. So this Halach of Lav Malka is a Halach, it's a Din Shulchan Aruch, it's supposed to be Lav Malka. Remember when I was little, so I used to think Lav Malkas are only like for the yeshivas have to make money in the wintertime to make dinner, so they call them Lav Malka. But no, it's a real din, it's a Halach, it's supposed to be Lav Malka. What exactly does a Lav Malka make up of? So here the post came right. The same way we find the Chiluk Yedeis when it comes to Suda Shalishas, we mentioned the last week, a bit of time and a unique sheet that you can be yet to Suda Shalishas with Mini Tagima, with a piece of gefilte fish maybe, or maybe a piece of cake, or other things perhaps. So that same shot of Mini Tagima that we've shown him now resurfaces, a similar shot resurfaces when it comes to Lav Malka. So here the post can tell us that Lichat Chila, one should treat Lav Malka as a full-fledged Suda with all the standards of a Suda that you should wash. Wash them, because challah, matzah, whatever it is, and washing bench, and trying to have a real suda on Motzei Shabbos. Those who are stuffed, they just finished Shabbos in the summertime at 9:30, and now it's, there are no kirchas anymore, eat anything else, so the pasuk, you can always have a mezonos, a piece of cake or something, and if you can't have that, so you have a touch of fruit, something, mashu, mashu. But look at chilu, the proper thing to do is to have a lava malka, dafka should have to be challah. The post can point out that the proper time to eat Lav Malka should really be close to Shabbos, because the whole idea is in the Lav of the Shabbos, if you're going to sit down to Lav Malka 3 hours later, it loses a little bit of that kiyam. The only problem is that we're not so full. We're not so hungry. We're just finishing Shalashudas. Where's Kirchus to sit and eat Lav Malka at 6 o'clock at night? So most of us just end up kind of delaying Lav Malka until sometime later in the evening. That's okay. But we're right. That at least till Chatzos. After Chatzos already, even B'diyevi, even that's okay. If you wait till also Shachar B'diyevi, but you're also good. But there is an inilach chila to eat lamakom for chatzos. What is that based on? Because in the svar makadoshim, so the chatzos is still like it's still a little bit shach to Shabbos. A little bit of the kedusha Shabbos is still not really in halacha. I mean, you're allowed to do malacha after the kavdol after tzeis, but it's still like the shef a little bit of the influence of Shabbos is still there. That's one of the reasons why the poskim write in Siman Shulchan about slichos, why generally you're not supposed to say slichos before chatzos, because supposed to say slichas at a time of rachim, not a time of din. And the first half of the night is a time of din. But in the first night of slichas, the slichas of Motzei Shabbos is even more of a reason not to say slichas before chatzos, because to get up and say, give me this, it's still Shabbos kind of, but it's not really Shabbos, but still the shef of Shabbos is still there, so it's fastish. It's not appropriate to say the slichas at that time. So this idea of the first half of the night being almost like a little bit of a continuation of the Shabbos spirit. So this has applications of halacha. I mean, poskim in the siman about tzlichas are writing this lahalacha, and here the poskim are writing that in the siman about the love of malcha as halacha. They want you to try to eat the love of malcha before chatzos. We mentioned that the Rambam writes that the love of malcha is part of kavod, and kavod and oneg are two important mitzvahs that we find on Shabbos. Again, they're not in the chumash itself, but they are in the Nevi'im, Nevi Yishayo. So that may elevate them a little bit. There's a big machlokes on poskim. Whenever you have a mitzvah that's not really from the Chumash itself, but it appears in Kisri HaKadosh, it appears in Nach, they have Kriyas HaMegillah, other mitzvahs that appear in the Nevi'im Ksuvim, are those just plain mitzvahs that are abundant, or somehow that knocks them up a notch? They're considered to be a little bit more chashuv. They made it all the way into Kisri HaKadosh, meant it into the Bible, so then they're a higher level of mitzvah. That's just a plain derabbanan. That's a big shayla about that. About whether ultimately Kriyas HaMegillah is really more chomer than Neres Hanukkah. That's a shaman, the Gedolei Pesach. So over here, you have these two mitzvahs of covenant only that appear in the Nevi'im. So maybe they have a higher level than a regular Derabbanan. So whatever they are, they're definitely important mitzvahs. And again, we highlight a little bit what the basic difference in covenant and Oneg is the actual enjoyment on Shabbos itself. Covenant is the preparation before, according to the Rambam, whatever happens a little bit after, is extension of Shabbos as a sign of respect as well. The Gemara has a comment in the beginning of the Sefer Berachot Kedushin, a very famous Gemara, where the Gemara says that when it comes to Kavod Shabbos, so we apply the principle of mitzvah b'yetzev v'bishluchai, that you're supposed to do it yourself. You're not supposed to delegate it to others. You're supposed to participate a little bit in the Kavod Shabbos itself. So that's what the Gemara tells the stories, that a different number of run, someone make the fish, make the food, other kinds of food, whatever they're able to do to prepare for Chametz Shabbos. So that's appropriate to be done by yourself. That's to Yom Tov as well, as we said, the Rambam writes b'Feirush, the covenant only applied to Yom Tov as well as the Shabbos. This idea that it's a mitzvah b'yaser, maybe shluchal, so this is true by other mitzvahs also. The Gemara says it explicitly only by two cases. The Gemara says it by getting married, that's what's in the Sefer Kedushin. The Gemara says even though Kedushin can be touched in the shliach, but you should try to do it, you should show for your own wedding, that's preferable. And number two, you should be trying to get ready for Shabbos yourself. You shouldn't delegate everything to everybody else. Doesn't mean you have to do everything. Let's say I'm a miserable cook. If I make the chill, nobody would enjoy it. So I peel the potatoes. So I go shopping for the challah. I help set up the chairs and chill, whatever different things people do. People should try to do what they're good at in terms of trying to enhance the Kavod Shabbos. But everyone should participate to some degree in the mice of Kavod Shabbos, and one should not just delegate to others, because there is a principle of mitzvah yosef and bishlucha. The Netziv is a whole discussion about that klal mitzvah yosef bishlucha. Does it really apply to machshir a mitzvah? Is it only something when the act itself is a mitzvah, even things that are preparatory for other mitzvahs? A lot of lumdus in the Netziv revolving around this mitzvah of this klal mitzvah yosef bishlucha. But tachlis, how to get the Gemara says it. The Gemara only says it in two places. In Kedushin of the Malach, so on the side of the Gemara, there's a Taisus Riazokin. It's a mistake. It's not really from the Ri. It's from, if I'm not mistaken, they say Taisus Riazokin. Kedushin is really from Rabbi Avraham in Ahar, from the Rishon Lagamri, how they stuck it into Taisus Riazokin. But in the print, it says Taisus Riazokin. So I think it's Taisus Riazokin, they write that even though the Gemara only says Mitzvah Yom Tov in two places, but Kavod Shabbos and Kedushin, but the Maaser applies to the Mitzvah as well. Across the board, there's a klal of, mitzvah by Yosef Mishluchel. So everyone should try to participate a little bit in this mitzvah of Kavod as well. Okay, so we spoke a little bit about the Sudas, and about the Lecha Mishnah, and about the problem of Malkas, and the Kavod, and the Oneg. So we'll take a break for now, and hopefully Mitzvah Shem. So after Yom Tov, I don't think next Wednesday we're going to have a shiur. So hopefully Mitzvah Shem after Yom Tov. So we have a few more topics still to finish up. We didn't touch on Havdalah yet. We didn't touch on Halachas Neiros yet, and we didn't touch upon when Zman Hayom, which are very much linked to those two, so it's almost like kind of like a package deal. Like the Zman Halachos Neiros with the Zman Havdalah, which are the opposite ends of the spectrum, and the general overview of Zman Hayom is a place that in when Shabbos does and doesn't start. So hopefully we'll talk about those things after Yom Tov, but then if I have a little bit more time, maybe we'll branch out to some other odds and ends that are relevant to the midst of Shabbos. Okay, but all right. Wish everybody Chag Shabbos Sameach. Be well. We should be well.